Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
It's 101.9 Chai FM, South Africa, waking up to the news that we have a new variant. We've identified a new variant. It's being named today. I think it's an absolute cheek that the World Health Organization is naming it. We should be choosing to name it. I would go with Eskom. I would call it Eskom because of the stages and the levels. But you know what? Let's ask new Johannesburg City Mayor, Dr. Mpopalatsi. Good morning. Thanks for joining. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Thank you. Thank you for having me, and good morning to your listeners.
So we were just talking about this new variant, and we've decided that we think we should name it. A few people have suggested we should call it the ANC. Some people said we should call it, well, I said we should call it Eskom, because...
You guys are terrible.
No. They're not well behaved, my listeners. I do try to keep them in check, but it doesn't always work. Well, firstly, congratulations, as we would say, mazel tov. It is such fantastic news. It really, really just is tremendous that you are our new city mayor. But why in God's name did you want to take this on?
You know what? I never for once decided that I want to be mayor or that I want to be a politician. All I wanted was to help people improve their lives. And I suppose this is how it found expression. But, you know, this is the one way to make an impact if you really want to impact society on a large scale. So I'm very grateful for the opportunity, but it's not like I decided I want to be the politician. Mm-hmm. No, you know, politicians are given a huge responsibility. They're responsible for resources. I mean, the city of Joburg is a 76 billion rand entity this financial year. That is a huge responsibility. You need to give it to someone you can trust, someone who is for the residents, someone who is competent and capable of leading the city and mobilizing the entire workforce towards a common vision of improving people's lives. And I believe that I'm the right person for that. I mean, I've got 15 years experience in public service. I've been a councillor for 5 years, the first three of which I served as an MMC. And we did amazing things in the portfolio that I was responsible for. I was responsible for health and social development. So I've learned a lot as well in the last 5 years over and above my qualifications and other experience.
Well,
so,
I found it very interesting that you came into politics exactly as you just said through a need. You identified a real problem in Alex in terms of healthcare and clinics, and that's how you started to move into this world.
Yep, that's exactly how it happened. I mean, even how I came to Joburg. I came to Joburg 10 years ago actually, and I was coming to specialize in public health medicine, which is public administration or the focus on health care. And the need also came about after I'd worked in a very rural part of the Northwest province where I was doing services disability grant assessments for SASA. And I saw that, you know, because of poverty and because of people's living conditions, a lack of proper housing, access to clean running water, proper sanitation, electricity, a lack of jobs, people end up with all kinds of medical conditions because of those things. And I felt so limited as a doctor because I kept giving people medicine and sending them right back into the same environment that made them sick in the first place.
Right, right.
So I started being interested in getting involved in the more upstream determinants of health and seeing how to work intersectorally to resolve these issues. That's really how it started. And then Alex came after I finished my 4 years at BIS. It was actually just an intermediary thing. When I worked in Alex, I was still planning on my next career move and I needed to earn an income in the meantime, and I did casualty about 5 times a month. But little did I know that that's where I would be challenged to get more involved, and that's how I ended up applying to be a counselor. I got so angry because of how the people of Alex live, and I started writing to all sorts of people, including a colleague of mine who was a member of parliament at the time, and I was complaining, saying, why is government allowing people to live like this? And he threw the ball back in my court, and he said, have you ever thought of getting involved, apply to be a counsellor, be based in Alex, and start driving their issues? It was supposed to be a part-time thing while I continued to run my own business.
Here we are today. Exactly, as the mayor of Johannesburg. What do you think is what is your number one priority?
Well, the one thing that people are crying for is for a restoration of normality and functionality in the city. every day there's outages on end, whether it's water outages, power outages. People just don't have security anymore. When they wake up, they don't have a sense of assurance that they're going to have a normal life on any given day. And I want to give that back to residents of Joburg. We're the economic hub of the country. If there's a place that's supposed to be functional, it's Johannesburg, because we're supposed to drive economic growth that will benefit the rest of South Africa and ultimately the continent. So that's going to be a focus point. I think much as we're a minority government and we're having to now put together a coalition government, I believe that that's one cross-cutting need and priority across all political parties. So it's something that we'll be able to agree on and start working on quite soon.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because that whoever I've interviewed ahead of the local government elections, whether it was John Steenhuisen or Herman Mashaba or the EFF, there was one word that just, and that was service delivery. That is what everybody, that is what voters are crying out for. So at least your mandate, I guess, is pretty clear. It's all about that, isn't it?
It's very, very clear. I mean, I would have loved to do grand and innovative things, but it's really as simple as going back to basics and getting the city to be functional again. And that's why I know that whichever party we end up working with, they'll also have that as a priority, because the cry is just so loud.
Absolutely.
Whether it's in an informal settlement or in the suburb, you know, even in rate paying areas, people have the same complaints. Business people have the same complaints where their business have been negatively impacted by a lack of consistent supply of services. If we're going to grow the economy, we're going to have to stabilize even the business environment. And you know, we need to create jobs. Jobs have been lost because of lockdowns, and people really need to go back and work and fend for themselves and their families and not rely on government. And we're going to need the private sector to help us do that. So we must create an enabling environment for business to thrive, the economy to grow, and jobs to be created.
How long, I mean, I could ask the question in a harsh way to say, well, how long should the residents of Johannesburg give you to start fixing? Or we can say, or I can say it a different way, which is, how long do you think it'll take before we start seeing some of the positive changes? And I do believe that there will be them, but how long should it be?
Well, there's going to be different types of approaches. I mean, some of the solutions will be short-term. So if you're talking about filling up potholes, for instance, to give people a decent drive,
absolutely,
you know, that could happen tomorrow.
Right.
As soon as we have a mayoral committee in place, which I'm hoping will happen early next week, you can already hit the ground running with that. There are things like cable theft, infrastructure vandalism, where we can already start beefing up security, setting up a special unit to start clamping down on those types of crimes. When you talk about infrastructure development, however, you need to invest a lot of capex in infrastructure development, and that's going to be a multi-year objective, even more than one term. I mean, if you look at Midvaal with their water master plan, it took them 15 years to get to where they are now from the inception of that plan. And there's been a lot of improvement. When we're crying about Rand water outages, they're not hard hit like we are, because they've got reservoirs that they've invested in over time. So that type of infrastructure will need a few cycles. And that's why we need a few terms of stability in Johannesburg. And I'm hoping that this will be the first of many terms where we can start seeing growth.
Well, I was just thinking, as you're saying, about hitting the ground running with potholes, I think you can call the campaign Fill the Ground Running, because that's
what I like that. I like that. You're quite the wordsmith, I see.
Words are my thing. I absolutely love words. So the other thing I wanted to ask you, and I'm always hesitant to do this, because I would never talk to if the position was filled by a male, I would never talk about gender. But the fact is, we live in a reality where, from everything I understand, black women have been the most disenfranchised people of our country. The fact that Johannesburg, the city of Johannesburg, has a black woman mayor, I think is such a huge, huge step forward in so many areas. Has this been something that you've had to deal with through the journey to mayorship?
Not really. And it's mostly because of my attitude. I don't embrace or recognize such barriers, particularly barriers that are imposed on me by society. I simply don't look at them. I focus on my own strengths and what I know I can achieve, but I also focus on preparing myself. So I invest a lot in myself in the form of training, giving myself exposure to different things that I believe that I will need for where I'm going. That's always my focus. And any space I enter into, I don't enter as the other. I enter as an equal part of, you know, the formation, whether there's only men. I mean, if you looked at my campaign, how many debates did I have where I was the only woman debating few men? And that's always been my attitude, and that's why I've always been a winner in life. So I do believe that women need to do a lot of introspection and start to work on how they see themselves first, because that's how you will overcome what society tries to impose on you in the form of barriers. It all starts in the mind. It all starts with how you view yourself. So I do hope that this move will inspire a lot of women. I mean, as I'm going through the study, I'm congratulating every woman I come across, because this victory is not only for residents, it's also a victory for women. It says to them, you too can be trusted to resolve complex problems. Joburg is not a simple institution. It's big and it's complex. And for a black woman to be trusted with that, it says a lot. John Steenhuisen always says, if you want something done well, you must give it to a woman. A lot of our top performing mayors in the Democratic Alliance are female mayors, like the mayor of Stellenbosch, who's about to get Stellenbosch to be completely Eskom-free, free of load shedding. She's a woman, you know. And so it's something new that people must really start to embrace and try out. If something is not working, give it to a woman, see if she can't fix it.
Absolutely. And I can hear, and I read that you do quite a bit of coaching. There's definitely, that seems to have made, well, it's obviously a passion. I can hear it coming through. But that's obviously also made a very big difference as to how you deal with people around you.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I have been trained. I've got a coach supervisor who coaches me firstly, but also oversees my own coaching of others, and he's really been an invaluable asset in developing me as a person, developing my leadership, and developing my ability to interact with my environment and mobilize resources towards a positive cause. So definitely a great investment. And that came during the lockdown, so I'm grateful that I enrolled for this online course that was about to change my life and prepare me for possibly my biggest assignment yet.
Isn't it amazing how life just, it just takes you in those directions at the time of lockdown? You can't imagine maybe why you're doing that, but, you know, it seems like a good idea, but yet here it has prepared you for a very, very significant role. Well, like I can tell you, judging from all of the messages we're getting on the studio line, the support for you is tremendous. And I think that's also amazing that there is this, I think, a groundswell of positivity that people want you to succeed. It's very different when people don't. And obviously there might be those, and maybe other political parties who don't want you to succeed. But I can tell you, looking at messages and hearing everything around us, there is a very, very strong support for you. And we just wish you all the best. In fact, we wish us all the best, because your success is our success at the end of the day. Dr. Mpho Palatsi, thank you for taking the time to speak to us so bright and early this morning.
Thank you so much for having me, and have a good day further.
Thank you.